We're three dynamic, young, interesting people. We can do this.
I like the fact that you still describe me as young. I've turned 30.
Oh, 30 is young. So young. You've got, you know, twice that or more left.
I don't like the idea of it just being twice that. That means I'm middle-aged. I don't want to be middle-aged. That's just wrong.
30 twice more. So you're a third through life, perhaps. Or less. With all these medical advances, who knows what happens.
That sounds pretty good to me. Although, my plan is, of course, to get my brain uploaded into a robotic body and therefore live forever.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's a solid plan. Can't see any issues there.
Can't you?
I'm sure the heady lifestyle of a webcomic writer and artist is going to do me in far too soon. All the sex, drugs, and rock and roll, which comes with spending about 15 hours a week carrying over Photoshop.
Oh, yeah, it's a wild life.
It's too wild. I think I may have to quit.
The Webcomics Company Podcast. Visit www.webcomics.co.
I'm just reading some of the comments that we have on the website. It's encouraging and depressing because it's more comments than I've ever gotten on my own comic.
I know, isn't it bad? But I suppose there are lots of us. So we've got four webcomics worth of people coming to see it.
That's true.
So it's like power extreme.
I need to put a link on. I redesigned my website last week, and I need to put in some new links down there.
I know the feeling. I'm wondering now that I've said that we've got four people's worth, have I actually put a link on my comics? And I think the answer might be no. So I'll have to do that.
Am I the only one supporting this podcast?
I know. So all of your readers are coming to the podcast.
Oh, definitely. All two of them.
I met somebody IRL who listened to the podcast, actually.
Really?
Yeah. I'm organising a fortnightly Oxford comic meetup of comic artists in Oxford.
All right.
So some guy came and said hello and said he'd listened to the podcast, and he actually said he'd sort of done webcomics and had sort of stopped pretty much. He said, maybe I'll give it a go. Now that I've heard that, and we might have encouraged somebody to actually do some drawing.
Brilliant.
Oh my gosh.
That's fantastic.
You met someone in real life. It's like you're a rock star.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often. I'm gonna do a convention in a week. The last convention I did, so like about three people turned up who knew who I was. Like, oh, yes, I guess I am not.
You know what? That's three more people than I've ever had.
Yeah, I think they mostly knew me to the webcomic list as well. I think it was JG. 4LS and Chilari, I think.
Oh, is this at the webcomics thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, Chilari and 4LS came by me as well. It was quite cool, though, to see people in the real life.
I did come and see you very briefly towards the end.
Yeah.
I had about 20 minutes to visit the entire convention on my own. So I ran around buying webcomic merchandise at a heavy rate of knots.
Sorry.
I think I got a little badge from you. Just got somewhere around here. It had a fish on it. That's what I can remember.
Is it pretty? Is it an orange fish?
Little orange fish on a light blue background.
I've got one of them as well.
Oh, we're like badge buddies.
Hooray!
Oh my gosh, we should form some kind of gang. That could be our like gang insignia. That joke really, really fell flat there. I'm just going to let it die.
I've got it. We are a gang, and you all have to show your badge and shout a catchphrase, and then a magical giant orange fish superhero will come out of ground and fight crime. And we can sell it to some cheap Korean animation studio to produce Saturday morning cartoons, and we'll be famous.
It's true. Children do love when people combine things to make giant robot/fish things. So.
It's true. Plus the advantage is we'd be able to do battle underwater.
That's a definite advantage right there. I mean, you know, we'll totally be the envy of those losers who have like a giant, you know, cow. What's that about?
I know that the cow guys, it's a dead end, man. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Behind the times.
All those milk-based superheroes, it just doesn't work. They go sour too quick.
Mm-hmm. Then, of course, you know, the people who have a frog, she's totally amphibious, they'll lay some serious smackdown on us.
Well, yeah, because, I think, they've evolved for both land and water combat, but we can still have our area. I mean, Aquaman made a good career of things. We can too.
Like Aquaman now. I thought Aquaman was sort of the superhero who everyone just pointed and laughed at.
He's got the power to control water. So you're 70% water. You're not feeling so clever now, are you?
Yeah, but that's totally like a rewrite power. Obviously, before all he did was talk to fish and have a hook hand.
Yeah. Listen, there's not much comic value in talking to fish, really, is there?
No, fish aren't that entertaining.
You can't even talk to dolphins because technically they're not fish.
That's his one letdown.
I know, so all those dolphin-based crimes, he just can't do anything, he has to call Superman.
His perennial problem.
Is this conversation going anywhere?
I don't think so.
Yes,
perhaps we should maybe we should decide what our topic shall be.
You are listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. Stay tuned for more banter.
Yes, so topics.
We sort of had two broad ones there, which is one that's sort of managing a almost managing a community in a way and trying to build it around a comic, and the other one was art basically, and how to improve overall.
I like the way you reworded our topic there. How to improve your art rather than how not to suck.
Yeah.
Well, Bible either.
Well, we've been talking a lot about community, so shall we continue on that vein?
Okay.
Sure.
And while I try not to grab the microphone and make noises with it, did you hear all that?
No. I heard a bit of rumbling, but
It was coming through quite loud in my earphones. So, community building. Who would like to start?
Oh, should we do our intro first?
Oh, you know what? That would be really professional, wouldn't it? Who wants to do the intro this week?
Okay, I'll do it. Okay. Cool. Hello and welcome to the Webcomic Company podcast, the podcast that says things about webcomics to you, hopefully, because you might be listening. I am Luke Healy of SwaneeNook.com.
And I'm Luke Searle of LukeSearle.com, recently redesigned, I'll have you know.
Excellent. And I'm Zoe Kirk-Robinson, one half of The Life of Naughty Mouse and All Over the House. And you can find links to all of my work at zoerobinson.com.
And we are down one Mr. James Spence of girlsinspace.co.uk. Well, the three of us I think can definitely compensate for your listening pleasure. It's going to get cray cray in here.
We'll be doing our best Scottish accents, I'll have you know. And this is my best Scottish accent that I'm speaking right now, pretty much. I.e. not one.
Yeah, I can't do a Scottish. The closest that gets a sort of Geordie accent, but it isn't going to get there, you know. So I'll probably stop that.
I think that my best Scottish accent would enrage the proud nation of Scotland, and I think perhaps it would be best to avoid such an occurrence. So this week we are going to be talking about how to build your readership and make them think you're pretty cool. Hopefully. I mean, some people do build their readership and through hatred, but I don't think those people are generally worth mentioning, even though they do exist.
How on earth would you build a readership around hate? Is it the car wreck value?
Yeah, I think pretty much. I mean, I know there certainly are. Well, perhaps not anymore. I mean, I think it's maybe a short-term solution to getting some readership. I've definitely clicked through to some comics after there have been a bit of drama going on, but I don't generally tend to stay.
Yeah, I think I'm probably the same. I'd pop in to see what the fuss was about, and then if there wasn't anything there that really endeared it to me, I'd probably not bother coming back. So I'm not sure how well car wreck status would work unless you repeatedly wreck cars.
And that's just expensive.
Yeah, it's going to get very old very quickly as well.
So, to be honest, don't have a tremendous amount of experience in building a readership, because I personally am of the firm belief that you should have content before you try to advertise or anything like that. And I'm currently still building up a nice little archive for people to see. So maybe you guys should go first and I can totally chime in. It'll be amazing. I guarantee it.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, I think the thing is to say right off the bat, though, content is king. I mean, you can manage a community however much you like, but you're managing a comic, and if you need your comic to be there and hopefully to be reasonably good before you try and build up anything around that. So that should probably be just at the top there.
Agreed.
Don't sacrifice putting time into the actual content of your comic to try and build something around that, because then you're building a house without foundation to literally fall down, to use a semi-biblical parable there.
And people do that, absolutely. I mean, I know that just on the webcomic list forum, which we all frequent, you know, you see so many people coming in through the new comic section trying to pimp out the comic when they have one strip up.
That's slightly almost embarrassing.
I wouldn't go so far as to say it's embarrassing, as it's an amateur mistake that a lot of us have made. I've done it myself, and you get so excited about this new thing that you're doing that you want everyone to see it and see how great it is in your mind, and you forget that they've only got that one page to go on, whereas you've got all of the ideas of where you're going, and you haven't got that there on screen for them to see. So you've really got to try and hold back on your enthusiasm, throttle back a bit, get the stuff there, and then say, look, this is what I was going to talk to you about earlier, but it wasn't there, and now it is, so see, you can see how great it is.
Yeah, and I think people are understanding about it. I mean, I think we've all maybe been excited about our own work and want to get it out there. So, I mean, if you're posting up stuff like that, I don't think it really bothers anyone. Just, you know, yeah, when somebody says, maybe, you know, wait for a little while till you have some more room, perhaps listen to that advice.
Definitely. I'm not sure these days that people are quite as forgiving as they used to be with that, though. Because have you noticed that there seem to be more arguments and vitriol coming through the webcomic list at the moment? Because that surely can't be good for keeping people there.
Yeah, I guess a bit. I saw just this morning your posts with that guy in the dog pile forum.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't checked this recently. My webcomic list reading has fallen back about this last week or so. I'm just going to read this while you.
Okay, I'll summarize what happened. This guy, he's got four posts. Or he had four posts on the forum at the time when he started to lay into this other person for saying that their art was terrible and they shouldn't be charging money for it and things like that. I thought, who are you to say that? We don't even know who you are. You're not a member of the community yet. You think you can wade in and start attacking people? That's been indicative of the way the list has been going, to the point where new people think it's all right to just come in and lay into people. That's not a community anymore. It's actually pushing me away from being interested in the site.
Well, thank goodness we have an oh-so-friendly comment section at webcomics.co.
That's true. That is one of the things, though, isn't it? If you let a site get to the point where people can cause trouble without anyone removing them, and I'm not saying the webcomic list does that, because I know the moderators work hard, but you've got to keep an eye on everyone that's coming in and playing in your sandbox, effectively, and removing anyone or anything that's against what you want the site to look like.
I think as a contributor, there's a general internet rule of don't be a dick, which should generally apply to just general conducting yourself on the internet rules. You can, when you start out, quite a common thing to do is to post on forums and around the web, just sort of, hey, I've started a new comic, what do you guys think? And sometimes, not always, people can react very badly to criticism, etc. And you can start off quite poorly, and that's partly just by forgetting some of the basic rules of courtesy of the internet. And then sometimes somebody else will forget those rules, and just sometimes you just have to walk away and not feed the trolls, etc. Because I don't think that's a very good way to start a comic sort of in conflict with them.
I've just got this horrible image that it is effectively like coming in and saying, hey, I've done this, it's great, have a look, what do you think? And everyone else says, well, there's not much there. So you immediately punch them in the face.
And yeah, and everybody gets negative comments. They do. It's a fact of the kind of hobby that you're trying to enter into. You know, you're posting content on the internet, you will get negative comments. Hopefully,
yeah,
You'll be able to, you know, you have to have somewhat of a thick skin. Just say thank you and move on past that. But again, you know, this is actually good for the subject of building your readership, because if you flip out and react totally badly, that's not going to want to make people associate with you, I think. That's how I feel anyway. I don't want to be hanging around those guys.
Yeah, it's true. I wouldn't go to a site where I knew any comment I was going to make would be taken badly and end up in some sort of argument. It's not worth my time, so I just wouldn't bother.
Yeah, I think every comic now, almost by default, has comment sections underneath each comment, a comic in which people can offer criticism. I know some comics which essentially ban any negative comment on the work above. Which I guess you can. It is a way to do it. I mean, you don't have to. I personally don't do that because I still regard myself as a learning process, both in writing and art, and I do appreciate constructive criticism. But yeah, if you don't, you can do it entirely and just don't seek comments at all. I wouldn't allow comments if you can't deal with whatever people say.
That's it. You can't say, oh, I'm just going to get rid of all bad comments, because where do you draw the line? Do you draw the line at the ones that are going out of the way to be nasty, or are you deleting every comment you don't agree with? Because to me, that's crossing the line. You can't have all the good comments so that your website's full of praise and no genuine constructive criticism where the criticism's valid.
Yeah. It's, with so some comics which do political or religious, etc. themes can also bring in some fairly passionate debates, passionate in the internet sense of people writing in all caps, etc., etc.
Oh, yes.
I mean, no, I guess none of us have actually done that sort of comic, or have you ever had that sort of comments on some of your stuff, Zoe?
I have.
Okay.
One person emailed me about the life of Dumpty Mouse saying that I was going to hell for producing comics about godless heathens in their communistic society.
No, really?
Yep.
Wow.
That's quite special. You should be quite proud of that, Zoe, really. I take that as a badge of honour.
I know, it's wow. How on earth have you managed to work this out? But they're godless heathens. They're immortal creatures that live on a bubble that's blocking a hole in the universe. So, yeah, naturally they're godless heathens. And the communistic society, I've done jokes about money before. Everyone has a job where they contribute to the good of the city. Yeah, sure. But they don't do it because of communism. They do it because they're bored.
Oh, that is just amazing. That is the best thing I've heard all weekend. Bravo.
I did have to smile when I got the email.
And how did you react to that? Did you reply at all?
No, I just ignored them. Because it's one of those things that I think either I could respond and end up in an argument with the person because they're not going to listen, or I could just not enable them.
I think almost all the time, ignoring is just the better thing to do in a lot of cases, rather than getting into some dull internet arguments. Internet arguments are generally fairly low quality anyway.
There's a lot of noise and not very much signal. But that is it. A lot of the time, these people that cause trouble or send you horrible comments, they're looking for a response, any kind of response, because it validates them. So if you don't respond, they'll get bored and go away. And in the meantime, you don't have to authorise their comments on your site. You can delete them or just not press the authorize button if you've got moderated comments. I think that's fair enough. It's your playground. You don't have to let everything in.
Well, one rule I do have on my playground is I don't like it people attacking each other. I'm generally okay if they sort of go after me because I can take it. But I don't want things to get into a shouting match between different people. So sometimes one person will put in a comment and others will go, oh, that's so stupid. And I generally start deleting things after that point. There's a couple of threads I've just locked because they just had headed downwards.
That's fair enough, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's not a long-term thing because my comic has no continuity or overarching theme, so there's not much for people to latch onto as an overall thing. But there's one comic, I think it was fairly early on, I think it's number 12 in my archives or 8 or something, and it just, people, about once a month, I'd get an email coming through saying, somebody has commented on comic number 8. And it'd be a very angry response to the person above them, flicking through. And just, nobody's reading this except for these some people who are just exploring the archive and getting very angry.
Do you have a question for the team? If so, pose it at www.webcomics.co.
Webcomics Company Podcast.
It is a slightly unusual position that webcomics people find themselves in, because you can end up almost being a forum moderator, which is not something that you necessarily subscribed to when you began.
I know what you mean, but at the same time, surely webcomics have been around long enough now that people realise that if you're going to put stuff out there, people are going to write all over it. The comment system is built into most webcomics websites now, that it's almost a default setting. You've got to realize that not only are you putting out entertainment, but you're gonna have people giving you feedback.
And how you handle stuff like that is really important to how people view you. I mean, not just comments specifically, but how you handle yourself on forums and on Twitter and stuff like that.
Well, certainly,
it's definitely important, because I know that when I get really into a webcomic, I also, you know, I like to try, you know, I follow the creator on Twitter, I read their about pages, stuff like that, and it's always good to kind of, you know, get a person that you can relate to, and you're like, oh yeah, they seem like a nice guy or a nice lady or whatever. And I think that's really important for building a readership as well, that they feel they have a relationship with you, and indeed that, you know, many of them can have some kind of relationship with you.
Definitely. Have any of you ever started reading a website or watching a program or even buying someone's books just because you've seen how they act online and realise that actually these are decent people, they're my kind of person?
Yeah,
I think it does seem that the community involvement is one way of, because there's sort of a level of readership who read your stuff, and then there's another level of readership who actually buy your stuff, which is, I think, as we've discussed before, perhaps 100th, maybe 1 in 50, 1 in 100 people who actually read your stuff. And I think the way this sort of stuff we've discussed, the way you conduct yourself as a person, rather than just simply as a webcomic creator, can be a big difference in bringing people from one group to another.
Certainly. You're always going to get people who like your stuff, but not quite enough to actually put down money to have a hard copy of it or a t-shirt or whatever. But if your personality or the personality they've seen of you online is sufficiently solid, for want of a better word, it can push those ones that are almost at the point where they'd say, yeah, I'll have some, to the point where they go, well, actually, that person's good. They've got this. I'll give them a chance.
Yeah, I've done that, definitely. I mean, there have been webcomics I read again. You know, maybe I wouldn't have bought stuff for, but the creators, kind of what kept me coming back, because I know that they're trying to do really good work, and they seem to have a nice personality. And then, you know, you keep coming back and you kind of say, oh yeah, though, what they're doing is really, really, actually really good. I know that might sound kind of shallow, but it definitely has in the past. I've come back to comics that maybe were hitting a rough patch, because I knew that the creator was good. They had maybe sent me a message on Twitter or whatever. Just, I don't know, I think that kind of involvement, for me anyway, is really important.
It is. I think it comes down to responding to emails. I mean, not every email, like the one I got, I wouldn't respond to, but I think it's something that they've said on Webcomics Weekly as well. You've got to respond to the good emails and some of the bad ones. If they're given criticism or something that you can reply to, just so that this person doesn't then go, oh, well, I spent the effort on them and they did nothing for me. Because it is off-putting if you spend time. I'm not going to name names, but I've sent fan art as a thank you for things to websites before and received no reply. And it does make you think, well, I just wasted my time there. I appreciate what you do, to the point where I thought, I'll put some effort in to show that I like it. And then they haven't even said thanks. Oh, I haven't even sent a quick email saying, yeah, that was nice, thank you, I appreciate it. Even, I'm not asking them to put it on their website or anything, just to say, I got it. And they don't. And it does make you think, well, why should I bother? So you've got to be careful with that as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Email is definitely, you have to recognise the amount of effort that's gone into somebody communicating with you. I think some comments, not all comments, are really asking for a response. In fact, probably most are just, depending on the content, obviously, most are probably not expecting a response. But if somebody does send an email, I think you should pretty much consider it the norm to reply, unless there's something exceptional, i.e. it's full of at least.
Yeah, and let me just say that I love getting email. I would respond the crap out of an email I get.
Yeah.
So nice.
That's the same thing with me. I'd like an occasional email. It's much appreciated and all that. People are looking at yourself thinking, hey, that's pretty good. I'm motivated by it enough to actually say, yeah, I like that. I would send one back saying, well, thank you. If you keep reading it, I'll keep making it. But if someone just sends you the email equivalent of coming up and punching you in the face, I'm probably not going to respond. But as long as you're not doing that, yeah, you'll get a reply. But some people don't seem to see it that way.
Mm. We all use Twitter, don't we? I know. And then we're all on Twitter and stuff.
Certainly.
Yeah, that's something. You are, though, can't you? I'm pretty sure I'm following you, yeah. Is that something that you'd recommend generally to people? I know I would, probably.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, definitely.
I love Twitter. I love it. I love following people. To be honest, almost every person I follow on Twitter is a webcomic person. I don't follow that many, but and I love that that kind of interactivity. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, I like the ability to be able to just pop straight over and say, "I liked what you did today," and leave it at that. Just say, "Yeah, that was good." It's not going to take me too much time to say, "I like that." Because that's what Twitter's like, isn't it? It's very quick, it's very simple, and in difference to email, you don't feel like you have to have a reply to everything that you send. So it's just a nice way of saying, thanks.
Yeah. Do you guys follow back everybody who follows you? Or is that...
No.
It's nothing personal, but I actually use Twitter as a thing I follow of people who is generally it's a mixture of well basically it's of the webcomics people I follow, it's webcomics I read pretty much, and I see there are some people who have who obviously are doing sort of power, who follow everybody, who have thousands and thousands of followers, and then they also have a very high number of followers because some people do follow back. But it ends up seems sort of vacuous. I don't like it somehow.
I know exactly what you mean. I did something like that. I did a video log about social media, and this one thing I said in there was, you see all these people saying, I just need two more people to get my number of followers to a million. And then I think, well, I would follow that, but I know what's going to happen after you've got to a million. You're going to have the sudden realization that everything you've just spent your life on is totally meaningless. And you're going to fall to pieces. And I don't want to see that. So I don't follow them.
An interesting thing, slightly mathematical thing, is that if you ever offer a prize for, say you've got 998 followers, and you offer a prize for your 1,000th follower, the most logical thing to do, according to game theory, would be for all your followers to stop following you. Because if they're currently following you, they've got zero chance of winning the prize. But if they unfollow and then follow back, they've got a small chance of winning that prize. So if ever anybody begs for more followers, game theory, defollow them straight away. Which
I never thought of that.
It's true. It's mathematically proven that you should unfollow and then refollow somebody if they're offering your prize for
Well, of course, yes.
Yeah, and you know, actually, just on the point of Twitter as well, I actually use Twitter. Like, if I follow you on Twitter, it means I'm interested in what you have to say. It's not just like a courtesy follow, like, you followed me, I'll follow you back. And I used to maybe do that at the start, but I have since unfollowed a bunch of people. And, if people follow me, especially like if webcomic people follow me and they're like, oh, hi, I'd say, oh, but, thanks for following me. But I'm not going to, follow them straight back and just, because it's kind of, there's some kind of vanity in it or something, It's like, it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's just a number of people who follow you. If they're not interested, you know, in what you're posting, then there's really no point in having a high number.
Yep, that's true. So you actually say thanks to people who follow you?
Some of them. It depends. I mean, a lot of people, maybe, you know, who follow, they'll send a tweet that just says, oh, when I, by the way, qualifying is I have less than 100 followers, so it's not difficult to keep track of. But if somebody follows me and then they tweet and they just say, oh, I like your comic, I'm definitely tweeting, replying to that and just saying, yeah. Oh, yeah, and thanks for following. That's great. Thank you.
Yeah, I do that. I reply if people send a tweet direct to me, but I wouldn't say thanks to everyone who follows, because a lot of the time they just don't say anything.
Yeah, well, that's true. But I mean, if somebody who maybe does a comic or artwork or something online that I like follows me, I'll be like, oh my God, it's so cool that you're following me. Thank you.
Yeah.
Maybe a little less desperate sounding than that, but, you know.
Yeah, it's not desperate. It's almost like, I wouldn't go so far as to say it's like when your hero comes up and says, I like what you did. It's like, whoa, well, that's really cool. But it's sort of the same thing. It's like an affirmation.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I can understand that.
And I just wanted to say that, you know, certainly the people that I follow and a lot of the people that follow me, this is just what I'm going on, but the webcomics community, especially on, you know, on Twitter and forums and stuff, are some of like the nicest people that I've ever had the courtesy of, you know, hearing. I guess hearing is the wrong word. You know what I mean? I can't say meeting because I haven't really met them.
You
but
have. It's the 21st century. This is what meeting is now.
Oh, yeah. I'll look forward to the further developments. It'll be super personal then as well, too. But no, I love Twitter. I know I've said that already, but like following, you know, some people, and they put up great links, and they, you know, they say what's going on in their lives, and you know, a lot of people put up, you know, humorous stuff or links to extra drawings, and I think that's brilliant, and it's a brilliant use of the medium.
Definitely,
I use it as a bit of a testing ground. I send out, I do quite a lot of one or two line jokes, which are fairly similar in form to the sort of thing that usually makes a cartoon. And then sort of if it gets retweeted a bit, then I think, oh, that might be something I should put in my comic at some point.
I like that. When you do that, I tend to retweet a fair few of them.
Yeah, I like that too.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I do worry that sometimes the people who follow me on Twitter get, like, will then read the comic and go, well, I saw that last week when you did it on Twitter. That's, you support the punchline there.
It's funny you say that because I've been following you for a while, and jokes that you've put up that have made it into your comic, I think it's happened maybe once or twice since I'm reading it. I'm usually like, got the scoop on that. All those non-Twitter followers, they don't know the history behind that joke there.
You are so going to be a journalist. Your response is, got the scoop on that.
Oh, it's what I get for spending like 30 hours a week with people talking about all kinds of crazy journalism terms. Good Lord. Can't get them out of my mind. So yes, in conclusion, Twitter is important and fun. Do it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Do it now.
You can do it right from the basics, which is just starting off, just send a tweet saying, there's a new comic up, here's a link. There are quite a few people I follow who basically just do that. And then maybe you'll sort of learn over time, sort of just by being on it slightly, to learn the ropes a bit. So I guess it probably can be quite daunting if you jump into it completely fresh. So there's a way you can start slowly, which is to do it like that. But
I would go the opposite route, to be honest, because I don't know about you guys, but any time that someone follows me, I check what their Twitter feed is, decide whether I want to follow them back, and if it's all just links to things, I won't follow them, regardless of it. if Terry Pratchett started tweeting just lists and lists and lists of links, then I wouldn't be following him, and he's my favourite author. So I think you've got to, if you're going to start with Twitter, you've got to take the time to learn how Twitter works, so that you don't put people like me off, because I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one that does that.
Okay. Sometimes I do that, but I do follow one or two people who just put up the notices, because I know it's basically the same as an RSS feed, but to be honest, I check Twitter more often than I check my RSS, like, I suppose inbox is the word. So for me, that's not really an issue, but I can see where, you know, that would be a problem.
And I suppose it helps that I have my RSS feed on my homepage. When I turn my computer on in the morning, the first thing I see is a list of all my new RSS stuff. It's just different approaches, I suppose.
Yeah, I use, I think the default thing on Macs is just to subscribe in Mail, which is like the email client that's built in, and it's not great.
Yeah, I tend to use Google's Google Reader, because I have Gmail, and Google is my, iGoogle is my homepage. I've got my own little setup with it, so I get my mail on one bit, and then my RSS feeds, and then the news down the middle. And that's my day.
I guess I'm just woefully disorganized.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, that's just me. I sort of fell into that routine. I wouldn't call it organized.
Google Readers, there for me as well. That's sort of, the absolute the limit of where you can get used. You can even just get something which automatically posts to Twitter every time something new appears in your RSS feed, which I think it's a way of getting your content out there, but it's not the building a community thing that we've been talking about.
Is it a tweet feed or something like that?
I think there are various services.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure I actually use TweetFeed for one of my workplaces.
Go ahead.
Sorry. It's just that, like I said, I use TweetFeed. It sends links from my RSS feed to Twitter, but the RSS feed that it picks up is one of my work ones. So every time I produce an article for a website, it sends a link to Twitter, which stops me having to remember to do it. And it gets me a fair few views on it. But it's not the only thing I'm using Twitter for. So it doesn't become as if I'm just using it to advertise myself.
That's good. Actually, just a question, because RSS feeds, I think, are quite important. A lot of people use them, and they kind of don't read comics that don't have them. I think it's a good idea to have one. How do you guys work or manage your RSS feeds? What do you use to do that?
FeedBurner. I pump.
Yeah.
When I set up a website, I pump the default RSS feed through FeedBurner, and then I go and edit the website's code so that it points to FeedBurner rather than its default generated one. And that way I can just track whoever's looking at it.
When you say track, you mean keep a number rather than actually track...
I don't go out with a magnifying fine glass and a bloodhound or anything like that, but I do like to know if anyone's actually using it.
That's very good. Is Tweet, or is FeedBurner a free service that you can use online, or is it...
FeedBurner.com, and you can sign up for free.
Is it easy to use?
Very. Yeah, all you really have to do is take the cut and paste the URL of your existing RSS feed that's been generated by your website, paste it into the what looks like a Google search bar, and click on the button next to it, and it'll generate the FeedBurner code for you, and then you use that instead of the original URL.
Cool. I know that I use RSS pect, like respect, but with an S instead of a E.
Ah, another one of those technological pun names.
It's hilarious. And I the reason I used that is because it was the only one that I'd ever heard of. Because I'd read Ryan North's Wikipedia page, and I thought, I need an RSS feed. I should probably look at that. And it's pretty bare bones. But, you know, I guess it does what I need it to. And a few people have... there's no way of tracking how many people are subscribed to your feed or anything. But, you know, a few people have said that they are. So I know that it's being used. And, like, it's good as well. I know you can probably do this with all RSS feeds, but since I'm posting directly into it, it means I can include Project Wonderful ad code so that the ads will appear in the feed underneath the comic page. So it gets some extra views.
That's pretty good. I probably should do that myself, but I don't. Actually, the Webcomics Company has its RSS feed through FeedBurner as well. And we have 8 people looking at it at the moment, which is quite useful.
Cool.
I have to say, I do like FeedBurner because it gives you little extras like item use, which tells me that today no people have clicked on anything from their feed. But that's really useful with podcasts, especially stuff like ours. Or webcomics, in fact. If you're producing an RSS feed where you don't get the entire comic, you get a shrunk down version, you've got to click on it to see the original because it goes to the website or wherever. Having aggregate item use, as they call it, where it checks who's gone from your feed to your website, is quite useful. Because then you know how many people are actually subscribed and how many of those subscribers are actually reading it.
That's pretty handy.
Yeah.
I just include the full comic in the feed.
Yeah, so do I.
So, do you guys... I brought up Project Wonderful there. Do you guys advertise with that? I know that we all, I think, have advertisements on our websites through Project Wonderful. But do you guys...
I don't, actually.
Oh, you don't? I'm so sorry.
I haven't advertised or had advertising on my site, actually. Just as a type of thing. Mostly because I'm too technologically incapable of getting the code to work. But I think that I've never really tried it. Which is something I really should do, but
I use it. I've got adverts on most of my sites. My personal website, zoerobinson.com, doesn't have any adverts on, and Inkproof Canon doesn't at the moment, but will do once we get to the point where they'll let us in, because they have a threshold, don't they, of about 30 posts.
Yeah, you have to have 30 posts.
Yeah, which is fair enough. It's about the time that you want to start thinking about advertising anyway. But all my other ones carry adverts, and at the moment I am advertising a book by my co-writer, and I'm advertising All of the House on the webcomic Beacon. So it's bringing in, it doesn't bring a huge amount in, but you can aim for about one or two for every 1,000 views. That seems to be the average.
And do you find that many people stay?
It's building up. I have to say, when I started advertising All Over the House, we were getting between 15 and 20 people looking at it a day. And now that I'm advertising corresponding with us going daily, we're getting between 30 and 50 people reading a day. So it's definitely helping.
Are you just using Project Wonderful as your service?
Yeah.
That's the one I've heard the best things about. Because it appears to be very webcomic specific as a as the form, which, and so it gets it's a lot better clicks per dollar essentially than anything else, as far as I've heard.
It's
mostly webcomics on there. Occasionally you get something like a big company's launches a campaign maybe for a new manga or something out. They tend to very occasionally get something like that, or maybe like a website that sells a little small craft items, but it tends to be very small webcomics or other online art advertisements, which I think is very good.
Yeah, I remember getting an advert for Warcraft once when Blizzard were advertising the new expansion. And it was a massive campaign. I think it went on every webcomic I saw. So that was quite interesting, but most of the time it's webcomics, and I think that has an advantage for us, because people that are carrying Project Wonderful's adverts have a readership that basically expects something for free when they click on an advert, so they're more likely to click knowing that they're not really being sold anything. They're just being shown something interesting that they can have a look at if they want.
Yeah, and they tend to make your website maybe, you know, I think a lot of online ads are quite ugly, whereas, you know, if you're just going to have a little strip with maybe a title and some webcomic art, I don't think it impacts too badly on your website in general.
Yeah, my only problem with Project Wonderful is because it's webcomics, it tends to be amateurs making the adverts. And I've seen a huge amount that are just basically just a picture of the main character from the webcomic that they're advertising and nothing else.
Oh, and dear.
Yeah, it looks beautiful art. What's it about? I don't know from looking at that whether that's going to be something that I'm interested in. So,
but there's only one way to find out, by clicking.
Maybe that's what they want to think. The biggest problem there is you can't then decide how many people have come to this because they have no idea what I'm selling and they want to see whether it's interesting to them or not, or how many of them are clicking on it because they look at it and think, that might be something I'm interested in, I'll go there, and then they find it is and they stay. Which is why I tend to try and put a joke into my joke ones. If I'm running a humour comic, I want to show people that I'm running a humour comic.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. To include, especially in gag comics, to just have a joke right in there. You know, if you're doing a banner or a terror ad, I think it works well. That definitely entices me to click more than just an image does.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the space, so why not use it? Or it's like, what did Scott Kurtz say in the How to Make Webcomics book when he's talking to the guy who does Starslip, Chris Straub?
I haven't read it, but go on, please.
Chris Straub was saying it was agonising over what to put in his adverts, and Scott Kurtz just went, you're running a joke comic, it's a set in space, just put set phases for fun.
Yeah.
I thought, it's pretty good, it's right to the point, it's not taking up too much space, and it shows it's a science fiction joke comic. I thought that was a pretty good summary.
Yeah, I think that in general, a lot of the ads, and also, just another thing to mention in Project Wonderful is that it has an age rating system, so you can block mature ads from your website.
Yeah, it doesn't work, though.
Yeah, okay, well, yeah. I actually have a funny Project Wonderful story. There was an ad on my site that just, it was like, the horrors of Cthulhu or something. I was like, oh, well, okay. I should probably click through this because my website is fairly all ages and I like to keep it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I clicked through just to see what it was. And it was a website that was selling, basically it was like these little metal men that you put on your barbecue, and it had like a skewer coming out of the crotch area that you stick a hot dog onto to cook it. It was so, so bizarre, because the advertising was advertising Cthulhu, and I scrolled down, and they had another one that was like Cthulhu's face with different skewers instead of tentacles, but it was just so, so weird. Just this little hot dog penis resting man. I was not expecting it.
I let that advert through on my site.
Yeah, me too, I left it there.
I'd say fair dues to them. They've got a niche product and they know how to market it.
Yeah, I clicked.
That's it. I clicked that. I enjoyed it. I wouldn't buy it. But then again, I am a vegetarian, so I'm not exactly their market.
The Webcomics Company Podcast. It may not be a real company, but it's a real podcast.
I'm sorry, I've derailed us. I apologize.
It's not derailed. It's still part of building community because you're advertising to get people interested. You're trying to find your audience. My biggest problem, however, with Project Wonderful is it slows my website down so much.
Really?
Yeah, there are... Sorry?
I didn't know it does it. Partly because I'm a terrible person who browses the internet with Adblock Plus, so I don't see all these things.
Oh, you're the one that ruins my mortgage.
Oh, just went right in there.
This is part of the reason why I don't advertise or do advertising, because I feel there's some sort of I'm not allowed to do that while I browse the internet with Adblock.
I know the feeling. As I work in an environment that really requires ad clicks, so I thought, there's no way I could morally justify putting an ad blocker in. Even when so many sites these days are putting up those bloody popovers or floating adverts that sit in front of the text you're trying to read.
Why would they do that? Why?
The only reason is that there are masochists who want to get punched when you meet them.
But do people really click those stupid ads that pop up in front of whatever you're trying to view?
I've accidentally clicked a few. I don't know whether anyone clicks them on purpose.
I don't know if that, you know, if that's what they're looking for, really.
Who knows? But, they infuriate me.
Okay, what I've done is I've just added projectwonderful.com to my allowed sites list.
Bravo.
We haven't guilt-tripped you, have we?
A little.
Sorry.
That was a very insincere sounding sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, at least with Project Wonderful, you're not in for anything too terrifying. You know, unless you're particularly sensitive to Cthulhu dogs.
Well, to be honest, that's one of the reasons for unblocking. I'm obviously missing out on something quite interesting there.
Oh man, it was weird. Weird ad. But occasionally you do get just like bizarre stuff coming up. The only stuff I've ever blocked from my website is something that's obviously a very mature webcomic in terms of basically if it's porn, I'll block that. Because, you know, my comic is all ages. I don't want to cross that boundary. I know one or two kids or young teens who read it, so I don't want to thrust that upon them. No, sir.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. But isn't that the same as what we were talking about earlier? You wouldn't let offensive people send comments, so why should you have offensive adverts? It all comes down to what image do you want to portray for your site?
Yeah, that's true. It's something that you should keep an eye on. And like in saying that, I've only ever had to block two ads. And, you know, it's not like a common occurrence where stuff comes up. Then again, I'm fairly lax. And the ads change so often that it's basically impossible to keep on top of it all the time. I mean, you could go browse, read two or three pages, and there would already be a different ad on the bottom. They flick back and forth quite a lot, I find, with Project Wonderful.
They do, don't they? To the point where someone will ask to advertise on the site, and by the time I've clicked on the email to say yes, they've moved on, and the advert's not there anymore.
Oh, do you have it where you have to approve all the ads that are coming to your site?
Oh, yes.
Do you find that inconvenient?
No, it is a bit inconvenient at times, but I've had a bad experience where one person put up an advert that was perfectly acceptable as a way to get in, and then put up another advert once he'd been approved that was for a porn site. And I thought, no, I'm not having that. So the inconvenience is vastly outweighed by the security of knowing that I'm not going to be touting porn to kids.
And that was after you'd approved him. That's strange. To be honest, it's a little weird that someone would go to so much effort.
I think it's because Project Wonderful has that option where if you've approved an advert from that one person, they can put up any without you having to approve them again. And he was playing on the fact that more people would let him in if he did a trick than if he didn't.
Yeah, it's weird. Now, I have never actually advertised on anyone else's site. Well, I did once ages and ages ago with my old comic, but just for like a day. I spent the €1 that I'd earned up from Project Wonderful. But Zoe, you said that you actually use advertisements. You advertise on some other pages. So,
I do.
Do you think that it's worthwhile to use?
If you've got an advert that you spent time and effort on to make sure that it says what your comic is and gives a little bit of information about it, and then you go on and do the extra mile of tailoring it so that it turns up on websites that are appropriate for your comic, then yes, it's very, very good. You'll get a high click-through rate. People that come through will stay. But if you're just doing a carpet bomb approach, it's money wasted.
I see.
See, you've got to put the legwork in.
Yeah, definitely be thoughtful about it, I guess, because you don't want to have your ad on a site that's, I guess, inappropriate for the audience you're trying to get.
Well, that's it. You don't want to advertise mutilating death robot kills Tokyo on the Care Bears fan club. Because it's an
or do you? Now, would it be fair to say then that I think maybe, Luke, you have probably the biggest readership out of the three of us here?
My average is about 1,500 a day-ish. It's almost entirely through StumbleUpon, which is something else we could talk about for quite a long time. That's what my numbers are, basically.
Do you find
spikes and troughs? As it were.
Do you find that most of your traffic is coming through links from other websites? And you said that a lot of it StumbleUpon. So do you find that like link blogs and stuff tend to be traffic crossed?
Well, I get some links because I think the nature of my comics means it's quite easy for somebody to pull out an individual comic and either submit it to one of these Dig, Reddit sort of things, or click the little thumb up icon on StumbleUpon and get people to come through there. So I think I can get it's a double edged sword because one, it allows quite ease of sharing, but two, it does allow people to have a very casual relationship with the comic, just sort of dive in, have a look at a few things, and head off. So in terms of I think a comic like mine can get quite a high page views per day, quite high visitors per day, but actually have a correspondent compared to a story-based comic, which has a similar level of readership, have a less large community and perhaps a real sense as such. Am I making sense there?
Yeah,
you've got a high pass-through rate, but a low buy-in rate, I suppose.
I think so. Yeah, and I there are people who do comment regularly, and I have a rough idea who they are essentially now. But it's a little harder to maintain a form of community when there's nothing consistent going on in your comic. So people aren't going to like the characters as such. So,
I suppose,
but it is.
Yeah. You're missing the hook that people latch onto effectively.
And see, yeah, the only real hook is the jokes, and I guess there is a somewhat consistent sense of humour through it. Essentially, I have to try and hook people on my joke telling. Really, that's the main thing.
What you're really trying to sell is kind of yourself, then, in a certain way.
Yeah, well, in fact, the website's got my name as its identity, I guess it is.
If it's any consolation, you're in good company. I mean, it's you, Gary Larson, and the guy from XKCD. You're all doing the same sort of thing, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I think what XKCD has done is very much identify itself with a particular niche of audience. In XKCD's case, the niche of audience was basically people who read the internet. So it was very, very, very successful. And I'll say that XKCD is very good in its execution as well. So that's another way you can build a readership, is to associate yourself with a particular group of people and become part of that community, whether it's a particular sport, a particular sort of gaming, or something sort of PhD students as well. Do you guys know PhD comics?
I've seen a couple of them, but it didn't grab me.
In terms of numbers, I think it's the most successful comic on the internet. And
wow.
90% of people haven't heard of it because
could I just pop off a second? Something outside just exploded.
Oh dear, okay. Of course. Halloween time, eh?
That's slightly dramatic, yeah. It's I didn't hear anything over the wires. I assume we'll cut this bit out. But if you
Yeah. We can just say anything now, because it'll be off the record.
Yeah, you know the webcomic artists I really, really hate? Well, let's see.
Sorry about that.
What exploded?
My house is a couple of hundred metres away from a main road, and it looks like two cars just collided.
Oh, no.
Are people okay?
Looks like they're all right, yeah. We've got traffic lights nearby, so it looks like everyone was just slowing down for that.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Tragedy on the Webcomics Company podcast.
I know. It's not what you expect when you sit down to record a podcast, is it?
It'll be such drama for the listeners. It'll be so tense. You'll have to put in one of those music bits just after you said, "Oh, something's exploded."
I suppose I could put a little intermission in.
Throw in some really like tense screeching violin or something.
Or we could just stop it there and go, "In memory of Zoe Kirk Robinson, 1980 to 2010."
No, because then everyone will know how old I am.
How old you were?
You already said that.
I did, didn't I? Whoops.
I don't.
Yeah, it doesn't count as a spoiler anymore.
What were we talking about?
PhD comics. Sorry, I was just saying. It's as its name suggests, it's a comic about PhD students, pretty much for PhD students. And when I was at university, every single lab had a PhD comic pinned up on its notice board. And I think every grad student reads it, which is overall a massive readership. It's just managed to corner that specific market. I think there's another one called Unshelved, which has cornered the market for librarians, which is it's odd, but I think that's one path to internet success, as such, is to rather than go for a broad appeal and see if you can get a small percentage of everybody, is to try and hone in on a specific market. But I guess none of us are doing this, so we can't quite offer an insider perspective on that.
Yes, I certainly am not doing that.
I kind of tried with All Over the House, but it hasn't really worked out. Well, we're going for cynics, basically. Cynics and lawyers. But we've really decided it's better to try and broaden out, because our style of humour works better broader. But I have to admit, if you've got a niche and you can really hone in and mine that niche, then yeah, you're going to be a success. It's something you think about when you're starting out.
As well as that, I think that when you think of a lot of the big and popular comics online, I mean, something like XKCD, for example, you really associate the creator with it. It's something that just goes hand in hand. So I think that, you know, while maybe, you know, not a lot of kind of people who maybe have XKCD stuck up on their wall might know Randall Munroe's name. I think that it's something that people can really latch onto. Like, you know, Petty Arcade, people know the guys. And I think that part of selling your webcomic is selling yourself. And I think it goes back to what we said at the start, was, you know, just, you know, kind of be polite and courteous and, you know, act maybe like you would in real life on the internet. Don't be a crazy internet guy.
Definitely.
I hope that made sense.
It did. Don't be the weirdo that everyone points at and then avoids.
Cool. Should we let that be the closing statement? Don't be the weirdo that everybody points to and avoids. I think that could be an interesting point to end on.
I have to say, if there's one top tip for life, that might be it.
Don't be the weirdo.
Yeah.
I love that saying.
Damn.
Oh dear. I love the saying that's like, if you can't see the weirdo in the room, it's you.
Yeah, if you can't see the weirdo, look in the mirror.
And that's quite a parable for webcomic creators.
Yes. Especially
if you... That's our closing message. You're the weirdo.
Yes, definitely.
Oh dear.
So, shall we sign off, guys?
Okay.
Okay, I am Luke Healy of SwaneeNook.com.
I'm Luke Searle of LukeSearle.com.
And I'm Zoe Kirk Robinson of many things, but you can find them all at ZoeRobinson.com. And you, of course, were missing out on James this week. You can find him at girlsinspace.co.uk. He may be gone, but he's not forgotten. You've been listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Well, hey.
Yay.
Yay.
The most least effective yay. Oh.
So, just thought I should let you guys know. All right, I have got to go and be sick, so I'm going to hang up now.
Have fun.
Have a good day. What a lovely note to end on.
Oh, God, that's going to make into the little post-show music clip.
It might not.
Thank you for listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. See you in 2 weeks' time.